host and best friend, Aurora. Today we're doing a solo episode. We've had so many amazing guests on the last month or so, and I also have a few guests that we've already recorded with, but I am going to wait to release those a few extra weeks just because I wanted to have a chance to have like a regular episode, just us, specifically because today we are going to be doing tea time, everybody's favorite episode every single month. I've gotten so many good submissions this month, and yeah, I wanted to take a chance to do it just us. So I hope you all have been so well. The weather is finally starting to get a little bit cooler here. Right now is like my favorite season, right? Like the end of summer, beginning of fall, where it is cooler but not cold. I thrive in like 55 to 75 degree weather. That is prime weather for me. But anything below like 50 degrees and I start to get a little bit cranky, which is the polar opposite of my husband. Seth likes cooler water weather and hates warm weather. Like he absolutely hates summer. His ideal climate is like the PNW. Whereas my ideal climate is like Southern California. So that's really fun for our marriage. But yeah, so right now is like the perfect time. We have pumpkin spice is back and I have been absolutely living for it. I get a pumpkin cream cold brew at least 3 times a week. I made a huge batch of pumpkin spice syrup at home. So Seth has been trying to convince me that we should just have pumpkin cream cold brews at home. And even though they taste just as good at home, there is something about leaving the house and paying $6 for someone else to make me an incredibly simple cold brew drink that is just better, right? I know I'm not alone in that. Anyway, let's get into, I can't think of anything like life update wise other than yesterday we had Rosen's birthday party. So today is Monday. His actual birthday is tomorrow. He turns 2, which I cannot believe. I can't believe that my baby is not a baby anymore, especially because we do not plan on having any of their kids. I know that I've mentioned that a handful of times, and I know that's not a secret to anybody. We are not having any more kids, but there's just something about how real it feels having him get to be this old, because I was pregnant with Rosen when Bastion turned 2. Like I had been pregnant with Rosen a few months. I think I just hit second trimester when Bastion turned 2. And so it feels kind of weird to be in that same place. It feels weird to be in that same age range for Rosen and realize that like, this is the end of it. This is the end. There are no more babies. There are no more babies. And that's so weird. Also, okay, this is not exactly a life update for me, but I want to ask you all, in the interest of tea time, and we will kind of just segue into all of your confessions, what do you do? I'm asking for a friend, obviously. What do you do if you find out that someone you know is cheating on their pregnant wife, but you are not on speaking terms or know well enough the person who is pregnant and being cheated on? What do you do? Because normally, in my experience, if I found out that somebody was cheating on somebody I know, I tell them. I've done it before. I will do it again. I think cheating is disgusting and wrong. I don't think there is any time when cheating is even a little bit justified. So I, for this friend who is in this predicament where they know that somebody is being cheated on, but they know that A, they don't talk to this person, and B, I don't know. It's one of those things where like, I don't know, if someone you didn't know very well told you that you were being cheated on, would you believe them? Or would you dismiss them because you don't know them very well? Because I feel like if someone I don't know very well were to approach me and say, hey, your husband's cheating on you, I would be really, I don't know, I would be thrown off for sure, but I don't think I would necessarily be inclined to believe them immediately, you know? Like, I feel like I would I be speculative? Would I kind of like think about it and wonder if that was accurate? Would I like talk to Seth? Like, absolutely. But I don't think my instinct would be to believe them. However, if one of my best friends came to me and said, hey, Seth is cheating on you, I would believe them. And they would have no reason to lie to me. So that's my question. You guys can all speculate and let me know your thoughts on that matter. But let's get into your drama. Let's get into your tea time. This one says, I like where I work, but I hate what I do, but I'm too scared to change careers. I think we've all been there. I've been there. Changing jobs is hard. Changing careers is hard. Do what's best for you. This one says, I'm not sure I want to be in my 6-year relationship anymore. Woof. If you don't want to be in a relationship anymore, then don't be in it. I know it's a lot easier said than done. Like, in theory, yes, it would be so easy to just walk away from a relationship that's no longer serving you. But also, I think we all recognize that there is so much more nuance to leaving a relationship, especially when that long term. I empathize. I'm worried about not knowing the proper way to clean my butt. How are you cleaning your butt? I don't know if there's necessarily a right and wrong way to clean your ass, except for that the wrong way would be to not clean your ass. I think as long as you're cleaning your butt, I think you're okay. Like, I think that you would definitely know if you weren't cleaning your butt well enough, right? Like, I feel like it would be uncomfortable. I don't know. I consider myself someone who knows how to clean their own butt. So go ask your doctor. I don't know. This one says, I made out with a girl for the first time and it was the most turned on I've ever felt. Good for you. And then this one says, I ended my relationship with my boyfriend of 10 years. Turns out I'm gay. So that's fun. I am happy for you for living your truth. I'm also happy for the person who made out with a girl for the first time. And yeah, let's just all celebrate being a little bit gay. This one says, I was leaving the mall with my boyfriend and I had the urge. I knew I couldn't make it inside. So as we were leaving, I crawled into the backseat of my own car and I shit in a plastic bag. Listen, I am never going to stop being shocked at the amount of people who admit to pooping in random places or pooping their pants for this podcast episode. I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but a few years ago, I went to my cousin's house for dinner. So I have a cousin that lives, at the time we were living about 45 minutes, almost probably an hour away from them. So we don't see them super often, even though now we live like 20 minutes away. I think that in my brain, I just feel like we're still like an hour away from each other. So we never hang out. And our kids aren't really close in age, but I love them. And my sister was in town too. So my sister was there at my cousin's house. And Seth and I and Bastion went up to visit them for dinner and have drinks. And this was early drinking years for me. So I was not very well aware of my limits drinking wise. And also, I was used to, like, if I were to have, say, 2 or 3 drinks, those 2 or 3 drinks would be like a hard Mike's or like a spiked seltzer or something like that. Something that has a relatively low alcohol content. So like, yes, having 3 mics or seltzers or something with like a 5% alcohol limit would absolutely get me drunk, but not as drunk as 3 mixed drinks, which is what I had on that night. And yes, I'm a lightweight. I'm very well aware of that. So at my cousin's house, I had like 3 drinks, like full on drinks. I want to say I even had some of Seth's. I got so, so drunk, like hilariously drunk off my ass. And when it was time for us to leave, we had to leave. We left kind of later than we were planning on it, but it was, you know, past Bastion's bedtime and we had to drive an hour back. And so we leave and start driving home and I have to pee. And anyone that knows me in real life, but also I feel like I've mentioned this enough on the podcast that you should know that I pee a lot. I have a small bladder. I feel like I always have. Like I, even pre-kids, there was a time when I was on an airplane with Seth and I had to pee so bad that I started crying just from the pain of having to pee. Like I have had to pee so badly before that I break out into sweats. I get a fever. Like I have a very small bladder and I have to pee very often. So we're driving back. It's like an hour drive and I have to pee so bad. And I'm drunk and I'm sitting in the back seat with Bastion, and who was one at the time, one and a half maybe. And I tell Seth I have to pee and he goes, I am not stopping, because we are driving back and it is past Bastion's bedtime and like I'm not stopping. I'm sure that you can hold it, especially because at the point that I told him I had to pee, we were less than 20 minutes away from our house. So he was like, I'm really not going to stop. Like if we had an hour left, Seth would have stopped, but we were like 15 minutes away from home. Seth was like, I know that you can hold it. And I was like, I really don't think that I can. And he was like, I don't know what to tell you. So I am in the back seat. I grab a So Delicious cup, because that was back in the day when we drank a lot of So Delicious, that was sitting in the cup holder. And I pulled my pants down and I peed into that cup and then put it back in the cup holder. But the funniest part was that for how long I was telling Seth I had to pee, for how badly I was telling him I had to pee, I sat squatting over that cup for, I want to say, close to 10 minutes before I actually was able to pee. Because it was kind of like, you know that pee stage fright you get when you like don't want to pee if you like know someone can hear you? I think it was because of the way that I was squatting in the car, like my muscles weren't able to relax, and so I had a really hard time actually peeing. But that is the second drunkest I've ever been in my life. The most drunk being when I blacked out on New Year's Eve a few months before that. So that is an embarrassing story that I felt compelled to share with all of you. So you are so welcome. This one says, I got a condom so stuck, like wrapped around my cervix stuck. Wow. And my boyfriend and I Googled what to do and ended in a water birth bathtub scenario with his whole hand inside of me, with me bearing down, only to end up in the ER a few hours later. Long story short, I guess I'm into fisting now. That took some turns. That was unexpected. That was beautiful. Wow. I'm a little bit shocked at that story. I don't know how you get a condom stuck around your cervix. Like, I'm having a hard time imagining it in the sense of, okay, so you're having sex, the condom fell off inside of you. I know that can happen, but I'm confused as to how it happened. Secondly, getting wrapped around the cervix. Like, which part of the condom? I have a lot of questions about this story, but I'm glad that it led to you finding out something that you love to do sexually. So I'm happy for you in that aspect. Not excited about that ER bill that you probably got. Okay, this one says, I'm married, but I'd rather be a widow. That is incredibly sad and specific. A widow? Like, you don't want to just get divorced? Are you planning on killing your husband? Also seems kind of insensitive to the people I know that are widows. Kind of shitty. This one says, I love my boyfriend now, but my ex just got married and I'm kind of mad about it. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about the angry feelings about your ex moving on or getting married or something like that, even if you love the person that you're with. Because I feel like most people's instinct when they hear something like this or see something like this is that whoever it is about is not into their spouse, is not into the person that they're with, is not actually in love. They have like these unrequited feelings for the person in their past. And I would like to say that my take on this is not that you are necessarily in love with your ex if you feel like this. And my reason for this is because I think it's so normal to hold on to not necessarily feelings for your ex, but I think people disregard often how hard it is for your body to let go of those connections, right? Like when, so there are people that I obviously am no longer in relationships with. I've been married for like almost 7 years, where if I were to see them, if I were to interact with them, it would make me feel some type of way. Not like in a, oh, I miss you, I want to be married to you kind of way. Like I miss you, I want to be with you kind of way. But I feel like on a chemical level, there's just this reaction, right? When you see someone that you have had such physical, emotional connection with. And I feel like the same way with if I were to see ex-friends, right? It's the same thing. I don't want to be their friend anymore. I recognize that it was not a good friendship. I recognize that it was not a good relationship. But seeing them, it gives me a physical reaction, right? And so I remember when there was an ex-boyfriend in college, when he got married, I was kind of mad. And not because I cared about him at all. He was a piece of shit to me. But that was why. And that's, I don't know if that was this person's situation that they hated their ex. But for me, I felt really upset and not jealous of the relationship, but jealous that this person was able to become potentially an entirely different person to this new girl, right? That the person that he was to me was an asshole. He was a flake. He was shitty. He treated me horribly. He proposed and then cheated on me a month later, and then proposed to that girl, and then cheated on her, and then proposed to this other girl, right, that ended up getting married to him. And so I had this reaction of like, how in the world did you actually get to this point? It's unfair that you put me in this sort of a relationship where you treated me so horribly, and yet now you have been able to move on to where you can have what seems to be a healthy relationship. And obviously, you never know what's going on in someone's relationship. He could be a piece of shit to her too. Doesn't seem like it, but I got upset because it just felt unfair that, not unfair because I want her to be treated badly. Do you guys know what I'm trying to say though? That not that I wanted her to be treated badly, but it just felt unfair that he could not have treated me well when we were together, right? So I feel like it's normal to have reactions like that, or even on exes that treated you well. I mean, I'm trying to think about it, and the exes that I have that I would not like hate bumping into on the street, I don't feel like I felt any jealousy or like really any feelings other than neutral when I found out that they were married or engaged or something like that. But I think it's normal to have that kind of a feeling when someone you have been close to in the past moves on. Does that make sense? Even if you've moved on. Anyway, okay, this one says, I had a guy go down on me on a jet ski while on vacation. Impressive. How was the jet ski moving? Were you out in the middle of the, I'm trying to think about the physical dynamic there, like how you were sitting on a jet ski to make that possible. I know how you would be sitting on a jet ski, but how would they be sitting on a jet ski? Much to think about. This one says, my best friend and I just ended our friendship and I honestly feel a bit relieved. Okay, listen, when my friendship that famously ended like almost 2 years ago ended, I felt so much fucking relief. It was such a toxic relationship. I had been wanting to get out of it for months. Like when I say months, I mean like over 6 months. I had been struggling and fighting with myself on how to end this relationship because I didn't want to. Like I loved this friend, but she was treating me like shit. She was taking advantage of me. She was so toxic and lying to me constantly. That was the biggest thing where I felt so much relief. Like, yes, it was absolutely like wrecked me when our friendship ended. It wrecked me emotionally for a long time. I still struggle with it sometimes, but it was such a relief. Like it was such a relief, like, okay, now I can focus on healing from this relationship rather than continually fighting it, continually feeling like I'm being mistreated. Like, yes, it's still a struggle and it hurts, but I felt so much relief to be out of the relationship. And I think that's totally normal and okay for you to be able to grieve the ending of something while also being relieved that it's ended, if that makes sense. This one says, I lost my V card to my first boyfriend. He cheated on me with, wait. I lost my V card to my first boyfriend. He cheated on me. The second person I slept with was his brother. Wow. Good for you. good for you for really sticking it to him. He did not deserve anything. Again, cheaters deserve literally nothing. This one says, I'm bi and constantly played with the fear that I'm actually gay and I'll eventually leave my husband. All right. We've talked about this before on the podcast. I think that is a normal thought process when you realize that you're bisexual. And you could think that you're bisexual and then realize later that you're gay. And that's okay too. And I think what's important is honoring where you're at currently. Try not to worry so much about what is going to happen. And also, biggest thing is being open with your partner. Because is it possible that you think you're is it possible that you're bisexual and that you think maybe you're gay because you are not into your partner? Like, is it possible that the reason you're questioning that is based on the partner and not necessarily on further defining your sexuality? Because it's totally possible you could be bisexual and just not like not be sexually attracted to your partner anymore. Or you could be gay, but so romantically attracted to your partner that that's hurting you. I think that, I don't know. I think that you shouldn't worry about it too much. If you are happy with your relationship, you love them, you want to have sex with them, then I think you shouldn't worry about it too much. If you find out down the road that you are lesbian, great, that's good for you. But I don't think that you should focus so much on it that you aren't able to enjoy the relationship. If you do enjoy the relationship and you want to stay in it, then don't worry about whether or not you're lesbian, because you probably aren't. If you are not enjoying the relationship, then it doesn't matter whether or not you're a lesbian. What matters is that you're not enjoying the relationship. Does that make sense? As if you guys could answer me right now. The next one says, I slept with my friend's dad and they still don't know about it. Man, some of you are really getting with some daddies. Like, I am all for DILFs. Like, sometimes I'll watch a show and there will be such a DILF in there and I'm like, God, what I would do. But I actually wouldn't, because I'm super demi. But like in my head, what I would do, right? So good for you. Good for you with getting with your friend's hot dad. Don't tell your friend though. That will ruin your friendship 100%. This one says, I got too drunk recently and I peed on my bedroom floor while my first date was in my bed. Wow, that's pretty bad. Yikes. That terrifies me. Ugh. And cleaning up the pee in your carpet the next day? Ugh. Okay. This one says, one time I shit my pants at a Target and I had to change in a dressing room into a pair of jeans I grabbed off the rack. At least you shit your pants in a place where you could change your pants, right? Like, silver linings. This one says, I was on a walk and I had to go to the bathroom on the side of the road and I ended up going number two at the same time and I was not prepared for that whatsoever. Isn't that the worst, when you are planning to just pee and then as you are going, you realize you have to poop? Because there's no going back at that point. It's happening, especially if you are in a situation like that. Or like, I remember once realizing that I had to poop while I was at my boyfriend's house in college and being just absolutely mortified and like trying to speed through it as quickly as possible, as quietly as possible, so I could get back in such a short amount of time that he would not suspect that I had been daring to poop in his home, you know, because that's so embarrassing, them to know that you have bodily functions. Big yikes. This one says, I accidentally called the police officer daddy when he pulled me over. The amount of times that I've accidentally called people dad, too high to count. Is it because I have daddy issues? Maybe. Or is it just a nervous habit? Maybe, but it's probably both. Okay. This one says, I was on a Tinder date and I approached the wrong guy because I forgot what he looked like. Listen, Tinder dates are hard, as someone who has never been on a Tinder date, because it is hard. It is hard to know exactly who you are meeting with. People's pictures can look so different than they actually look in real life. And a lot of people do that on purpose, where they do not accurately portray themselves online so that way they can get more dates or whatever. And then you meet them in real life and it's a picture from 7 years ago. But also, if you're on Tinder and you're talking to a lot of people, which good for you, how can you be expected to remember every single person's face? I don't blame you. Okay, this one says, I was driving in the car with my in-laws in the back seat. I was scrolling through my phone photos and I accidentally scrolled past a nude. I quickly scrolled back, scrolled away from it, but I heard a quiet "oh" from my father-in-law in the back seat. I live in constant terror at the possibility of someone seeing a nude that they were not supposed to see, especially an in-law. Or there was a time where I was scrolling through photos and my boss was next to me and I scrolled past a nude. And I don't know if he saw or not, but I think that he did. And I think about that constantly. So, Chris, my old boss, if you're listening to this, first of all, why? Second of all, did you see my nude? Please let me know. I'm losing sleep over this. This one says, I divorced my husband and I regret it every day. Okay, so we've got a different confession here. Big yikes. That really sucks. I think that it's so hard to make decisions like that because of a fear of regret, because of a fear that things are not going to go well, that you don't have any idea. Like, you can't tell the future. You can't know how you're going to feel in a few months. You don't know how you're going to feel in a year. And I think that's just a really rough spot to be in. That's a really rough spot to be in, and I hope that you are able to move on and find happiness. Okay, this one says, I was at my friend's wedding, and I slipped on a grape that was on the floor, and I broke my foot. Holy shit, okay. I had to fly out of the Denver airport the next day, so my boyfriend convinced me to use a wheelchair. So here I am, hiding my face in shame as I, a healthy 20-year-old, get wheeled through the airport. When you're in a wheelchair, you get to go to the front of the security line. And after going through the security, I hobble back to my wheelchair to sit down. We get to the other side and my boyfriend looks at me and he says, while you were in that wheelchair, you cut in front of a double amputee with two prosthetic legs as he walked through security. I felt so mortified. I am so grateful that that happened to you. It reminds me of, okay, I was at a party last week and we were talking about handicapped bathrooms and how every single time I use a handicapped bathroom, I live in fear that I'm going to get out of that bathroom and then someone who needs a handicapped bathroom is going to be waiting outside for me to be done. You know, I avoid using them unless it's the only stall available. That's never happened to me. However, a friend of mine at this party told everyone about this time when she used the handicapped bathroom stall because the other bathroom stall was being used, and she really exploded it and finishes and realizes the toilet will not flush. There is absolutely nothing she can do. They don't keep plungers in the bathrooms in gas stations. And it was like a gas station bathroom. So it was just, we all talked about it afterwards and speculated that it was probably not even necessarily a her shit problem, but the toilet problem. Like, you know, those toilets that just clog every single time. It was one of those. She walks out of the bathroom to where a handicapped person and their aide are standing outside waiting for her to come out of the bathroom. And she just exits as fast as she can. And she says that she thinks about this constantly because she feels so much guilt around the fact that as she's walking out, she had to listen to the aide tell the person who needed the bathroom that they couldn't use it because the toilet was so clogged. And the handicapped person just crying. I don't blame my friend for thinking about that constantly. If you're listening to this, I'm really sorry for telling your story without asking first, but it was anonymous. So it could have been anyone. No one knows it was you. Okay, let's end it off with one last one. This one says, my mother-in-law was helping us unpack our new house when we moved in, and she opened up a box labeled miscellaneous. This is where we had stored our toys. And she thought one of them was a back massager. She started using it on everyone's back. We didn't notice until she used it on my husband's back. He immediately knew what it was, and we were mortified. I, again, live in fear that, like, my in-laws are going to come to my house and find things that I don't want them to find, especially because we keep those things in a very easily accessible place to where we would need them. And the last time my in-laws came, they dog sat for us while we went out of town. And after we left, we got on the plane. Seth was like, oh, we forgot to empty out your bedside table drawer. So I feel like it's very possible that she opened that drawer at some point, realized what was inside, and promptly closed it and wished to burn her eyes. But you know what? The thing is that I'm not really that embarrassed about it, in the sense of, like, it's hard because it's like, it's not embarrassing to use sex toys, right? Or anything like that in the bedroom. It's not embarrassing to use those things because it's normal. It's like not a big deal. But it's embarrassing to have to face that when it's an in-law, because you're having sex with their kid, you know, like, I'm having sex with my in-law's son, and that's what makes it uncomfortable. Like, if one of my friends were to find my sex toys, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, we all have them. But there's just something, there's an extra level of discomfort and shame when it's your in-laws, even more than your own parents, I feel like. But both are incredibly embarrassing. Thank you all so much for always being willing to send me your most embarrassing secrets and letting me share them with the whole world. It means the world to me. You guys are my favorite. You guys all know how much I love this podcast, how much I love creating this podcast. It would really mean the world to me if you shared this episode on your stories and tagged me. That is the best way for me to grow. The other best way for me to grow is for you to leave a review on the Apple Podcast app. That is how the Apple Podcast app decides, like, the more positive reviews something gets, the more it's going to be pushed in the algorithm, whatever the algorithm is on the app, podcast app, and new people will find it. And new people finding it makes me happy. I love to grow our little community of best friends. So comment, leave 5-star reviews, subscribe if you are not already so you do not miss an episode, and I love you all. Good night.